I want to start by asking a question. What brings you joy? Something that brings me joy is having a house full of people. And on Tuesday nights, Terry and I host a group of young professionals over at our home, and there's just nothing more thrilling and just fulfilling for me than to see all my friends and, you know, people from sort of different areas of life connecting and talking and having conversation and just, you know, something happening. And for me, it's just thrilling. It brings me great joy. It gives me life just to see my house filled with people. And I didn't necessarily grow up in a house that did that a lot. We didn't have a lot of gatherings or parties at my house growing up. Didn't come from a really large family. Just that wasn't necessarily something that was modeled for me, but now I'm just experiencing something that really gives me life. So just take a moment, turn to your neighbor, and just share something that brings you joy. Go. All right, I'm hearing food. I probably overheard shopping somewhere over here. I heard someone over here maybe say cars, movies, things that bring you joy. Well, we're talking this morning about something, and we're going to come back to this idea of joy and what brings you joy. We'll come back to it at the end, but so stick a pin in it, put it in your mind, because we're going to come back to it. But today we're continuing our message series. We've been talking for the past few weeks about some of the practices that we sort of hold highly here at Pump Road. Does anyone remember some of those practices? Celebrate. Okay, so we think you know, we're forgetful people, and so we need to come together weekly, and, you know, once in the sort of 7-day pattern of the world, come together and just celebrate what God's doing for us. So celebrate good. Is there someone another one of those practices? Maybe this side of the room somewhere. Thank you. This side of the room. Connect. We value highly just connecting with each other, building relationships with one another. We do that primarily through our missional fellowships, our small group experiences here at Pump Road. But we also want to be intentionally building relationships with people outside our church, too. I mean, there's one more thing we practice here, and it's the one we talked about last week, and we're going to talk about today, too. Not eating. That was part of the connecting part. We do all like to eat, though. Anybody? Contribute. Thank you. Overachieving side of the room. Yeah, sorry. You weren't ready for the... All right, well, contribute, by that we just mean we are apt to live for ourselves, and Christ models for us a way of living or laying down our lives and living not for ourselves but for God. And so we feel like that's how we contribute. And Nelson talked last week about how that's the thing that the church has to offer the world. This, when we do that, we bear fruit, and there's just something wonderful about that when we do that. And so we're going to continue talking about this idea of laying down our lives today, and we're going to look at what Andre just read. Being a living sacrifice. Now, I'm not going to encourage all of you to go out and die for God tomorrow and you know, somehow you know, cease to live, but we're going to find out there's a way we can lay down our lives, a way we can sort of offer ourselves as living sacrifices, because we're gifted. We're all have gifts. We all have unique ways and unique things that we can contribute to the church. And so we're going to look this morning about what does it look like for us to use our gifts collectively and to lay down our lives as an offering to God. Now, some of you may be thinking, Dave, I'm not sure about this living sacrifice thing. That sounds a little weird. Not sure about laying down my life. So we're going to talk about that first. And then we're also going to talk, and then we're going to see and discover the joy that's unlocked as we use our gifts to serve God. And really, you know, this is all part of, we want to be part of the better story of that's God's story. We're living out our own stories, and we think there's a better story to be lived, and it's God's story. So we're going to see how can we join God's story by using our gifts here in the church. Now, I mentioned last week, Nelson talked about how Jesus invites us to abide in him and bear fruit. And that fruit that we bear is what the church has to offer the world. It's a beautiful thing. Now, does anyone know, one knows specifically, you remember what that fruit is? I've sort of already told you. It's laying down our lives. Jesus talked about, you know, bear fruit, and then he says, give up your life. There's no greater love than to give up your life for a friend. It's love. And so we're talking about laying down our lives for others, and we're called to give our lives in love. And it's about giving ourselves away. Now, here's another way of thinking about this idea of contribute. A lot of us, and a lot of people in general, approach church from a consumeristic standpoint. Makes sense. We live in a consumer-oriented culture. If you go to my favorite restaurant, Chick-fil-A, the consumer is king. You know, you'll get whatever you need because you're there to consume, and Chick-fil-A wants to make sure you have a good consuming experience. So in our culture, too often church becomes all about what we get out of it and not what we contribute to it. But friends, when we fall into the trap of being consumer-oriented when it comes to church, we're actually cutting short that fruit. We're prohibiting the church from sort of offering what it's supposed to offer to the world. The point is, if the point is producing fruit by laying down your life, you won't produce it if you come up to church with a consumer mindset. And when Nelson and I talk to folks who come to Pump Road and they visit once or twice, but then they never show up again, I promise you they never say, "Well, Dave, there was just I just didn't see a way I could contribute to your church." It's always, you know, there weren't enough people my age. There weren't enough old people. There weren't enough young people. The music wasn't quite what I was looking for. I like to hear the same words every Sunday. We always hear these sort of consumer-oriented sort of reasons why people don't come back. The pattern of this world is consumerism. What's in it for me? Now, those of us on the inside here at Pump Road are discovering something, that the more we contribute, the more we lay down our lives for this church thing, the more we're getting out of it. The more joy and life we're experiencing here, the more we engage in our missional fellowship and really kind of make that a central point of connecting for us during the week, the more we're vulnerable and open and that can be scary, but the more we do those things, the more we get out of it, the more life we experience, the more joy we get out of those things. It's, in fact, I would say the more excitement we get to be a part of things. It's kind of this odd, counterintuitive thing, isn't it? So we're talking about contribute, and I believe this is the living sacrifice this author in Romans is talking about. So take a look at verse 1 in our scriptures. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," and that just means that Jesus laid down his life for our sins, God had mercy on us, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, I was trying to think of like a good example for this, like who's an example we could all sort of think of, and I thought of Mother Teresa. You know, she is someone who truly laid down her life to serve people, right? I mean, that's sort of someone that we can all sort of imagine, you know, like, wow, she really, you know, gave up life and, you know, really, gave up her, everything she could have pursued to serve people. And, the world would sort of stop and say, yeah, Mother Teresa, she really bore fruit. She's something that even the church, the world admires as someone who's done something. So I think it's sort of a helpful practical example of like what happens when we lay down our lives, we bear fruit, and the church, the world stops and goes, oh, that's pretty neat. I appreciate that. Now, maybe talking about Mother Teresa is a high bar for us, and maybe that's a little intimidating for you. You don't want to exactly, move to India tomorrow and lay down your life to serve people there. That's a high bar for us. And maybe there's some other reasons you're thinking like, Dave, I'm not so sure about this living sacrifice. I'm not so sure about what that looks like for me. I'm not sure if that's something I'm interested in. And maybe you're thinking, this is just really counterintuitive. And you're having a hard time still wrapping your mind around, what does it look like for me to lay down my life as a living sacrifice? Or maybe you're just thinking, Dave, that's not in my cards. I've got a respectable job. I've got a respectable family. I don't need to lay down my life for anybody. Too important. I've got things to do. Or maybe you're just thinking, that doesn't sound like fun. I don't know. Well, I think that's why God gives us the next two verses. Take a look. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And Paul, the author of Romans, is saying, you've got to change your mindset here if you want to be a living sacrifice. And most of us walk around life asking some form of question, what's in it for me? And we approach every area of life with this consumer mindset. If we're going to change our thinking, maybe we need to change the question that we're asking. We need to find a better question. So the question I want us to consider is, what do you live for? And it's an interesting thing we have in English language, because we can say, what do you live for? What do you die for? And they almost mean kind of the same thing. And when you think about it, we all die or we all live for something or someone. And by this I mean there's something or someone that we're all willing to lay down our lives for. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's our families. Maybe we lay down our lives in pursuit of financial independence or freedom. Or maybe we lay down our lives in approval for others. Maybe you die for chocolate or some other worldly pleasure. And I'm going to be the first one to say that I lay down my life for a variety of things. I'll tell you what I used to die for. Before I was a pastor, before going to graduate school, I was a musician. And I lived in Atlanta, and I sang with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Chorus, and it was a lot of fun. We had some great performances. And it got to a point where I was living, I was giving up my life for the roar of the applause at the end of the concert. And, you know, I was sitting there, that's what I wanted to get out of that concert experience. I wanted, at the end of the night, to hear the hoops and hollers for the chorus. Because, you know, the conductor would come out, and they'd clap for him, and then the chorus would take a bow, and they would, you know, like, cheer for us. It was really exciting. And I realized, that's what I lived for. I was dying to get just, you know, hear people clap for me. I don't know what you want to die for or live for, but the reality is we're all living and giving up ourselves for something else or for someone else. And friends, God calls us to be transformed in our thinking by the renewing of our mind. And what he means by this is we've got to stop living for things other than God. If you're with us this fall, we talked about idols, and idols are simply secondary things that we make primary things, meaning we put things ahead of God. Well, that's what he's tapping into here. The pattern of this world is, what's in it for me? Last week, Nelson mentioned in his journey here at Pump Road, he's been transformed. His thinking has been transformed, and a lot of us are in the same boat. He's not the only one that our thinking has been changed as we've been a part of this Pump journey. And many of us are rethinking church and what it means to give up our lives to serve God. And many of us are laying down our lives and experiencing the joy and excitement of doing that. And I just want to take a moment to thank you for doing that. Those of you who are doing that already, so some of our setup guys that get up here, get here early on Sunday mornings to set up and stay late, they miss lunch because they're helping serve, our sound team, our missional fellowship leaders, our elders, our student ministry teams, everyone who teach in Kids Kingdom, you know, they have to miss the message like once a month, that's terrible. All of you are giving up so much of your life to make this sort of church thing happen, and what are we experiencing? Joy, and it's a thrill to be a part of this. So I just want to say thank you. And you may think, those of you who are serving, you may think that's not a big deal. I just get up and I come and I schlep equipment around, or I teach once a month. You may not think that's a big deal. But you're giving your life away and you're contributing, and it's awesome. And church wouldn't happen without all of us sort of doing it together. Now, some of you still may be thinking, Dave, this just being a living sacrifice isn't for me. I'm still not clear and not certain about what it means for me to do that. And perhaps what you're really thinking is, my life is too valuable just to give it up for something like this. I don't know what you're afraid of giving up. You've got something in your mind that's saying, this sacrifice thing isn't for me. Laying down my life, not going to happen. Take a look at the next verse, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Now, the point here isn't to make anyone feel guilty, or to make you feel bad about not wanting to be a living sacrifice and to offer yourself and give yourself away. I just really want to suggest it's not easy. I want to suggest that it requires change in our thinking. It's going to require something of us to do this. And so we've got to, like, you know, just put ourselves in a place where we can think about, what does it really mean for this to me? And are you willing to put yourself in that place? What does it mean for me to be a living sacrifice? Now, we're all invited to contribute. So we're all in this place of, we're a living sacrifice. We're all need to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. But what exactly does it look like? What's the practical part of this? Let's keep reading. Now, before we get to the scripture, I want to just say, this section pertains primarily to people who are Christians, who call themselves Christians, which just means to be in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're not a Christian, you can sit back and relax, because this isn't pertaining to you, and you just get to watch and say, oh boy, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? What are the specifics of that? Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So, according to this, being a living sacrifice is to recognize that we're part of a larger body, and that we really don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to that larger body. We believe that larger body is the church, the body of Christ. This is a metaphor for the church, the thing that we're doing here, that is all the people who are in Christ. And last week, Nelson talked to us about being connected to the vine, the life source that is Jesus, and it's the same idea that's going on here. You see, friends, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, you do not belong to yourself. And you might say, Dave, that's ridiculous. Of course I belong to myself. No one owns me. No one tells me what to do, except for maybe my wife. I don't belong to anybody else. I get you. That's not easy to hear. But we belong to a body. If you're in Christ, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the church, the body of Christ. And if you belong to this body, just like each part of our body has a specific purpose and function, there's no appendixes in the church. There's no bench warmers. We're all got a specific purpose. We all have a specific purpose, and we all have a unique way of contributing to the church. The body needs you. God needs you. Needs each of us. Now, isn't it a great feeling to know you're needed? God needs you. Now, here's one of the great mysteries of God. I love this idea, but it blows my mind. Here's God, the creator of the universe, and he went, whoosh, and bang, the universe came into existence. And in the same sort of, whoosh, he breathed life into us. And, you know, here's the sovereign king of the cosmos who could strike us down with a single lightning bolt, and yet he created us, yet whoosh, he needs us also. He breathes life into the church, because he needs us. Now, we keep reading, we discover that God has uniquely created each of us with a certain set of gifts specifically designed to serve his purposes. Now, here's what it looks like to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There you go. Now, do any of these things sound intimidating, offering yourself as a living sacrifice? Do any of those things sound, you know, really all that scary? Or like, well, Dave, I don't know if I can do any of those. I'd hope not. I hope so. Maybe one of those I might find a way into here at the church. Now, this particular list isn't an exhaustive list. It's sort of a representative list. And there's other places in scriptures where more of these, what we call spiritual gifts, are sort of outlined. And none of them are sort of comprehensive, but they just kind of give us an idea of the different gifts that God has breathed into each of us uniquely. And Ephesians 4 is one. It talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are set aside to build up the body, to make up and sort of form the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12 says this, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. You know, there's a lot of different gifts that God's going to use to build up his church. Now, I don't have time to go into like what each of these looks like this morning. We'd be here a while. You're going to do a little bit of that in your missional fellowships, though. But I believe that a unique mix of gifts are in everyone's DNA. God made all of us, and I believe he's infused in each of us these unique set of gifts. So my gifts are different from all of your gifts. Your gifts are not the same as mine. And it's like our missional DNA, our natural sort of biological wiring towards certain aptitudes and abilities that are unique towards for each person on the earth. And think about it like this. I think of it like as a seed. You know, contained in the seed is the blueprint DNA for a tree. Now, a seed doesn't look like a tree, but out of that sort of DNA is going to flourish this, you know, trunk that's going to grow tall and strong, and roots that will grow, you know, deep down to the earth, and branches that will kind of reach out to the sky. You would never guess that the blueprints, the DNA for that tree is contained in that little seed. Now, the same for each of us. Now, for those of you who aren't Christian, you're here today, I want you to know that God has uniquely made you and gifted you, and He is inviting you into a relationship in which you can use those gifts and talents and abilities, and they will be activated. You'll become that tree that God has designed you to be. But there's something that we need in order for the seed to become the tree, for our gifts to sort of be emerging and unlocked and sort of activated. And our passage from 1 Corinthians reveals something very interesting about how these gifts are activated and used within us. And it says that the gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is simply Christ's presence with us, is the advocate that Jesus promised after he would leave us physically. It's interesting, I was thinking about this. You know, we got two things when Jesus died. We received forgiveness for our sins, but we also received the Holy Spirit, this new entity of God that's with us all the time. And its presence, or the manifestation, is the thing that unlocks and activates these gifts within us. It's like our gifts and our talents get plugged into a life source. You know, otherwise they're just kind of like a dead device, just kind of sitting there not doing anything. But when they get plugged into the Holy Spirit, boom. You see, friends, the way God designed us to be is we were meant to be planted within the love of God, nourished and fed by His Word, and to take deep drinks of Jesus, which causes us to bear and grow and bear fruit. And our gifts will be unleashed, they'll be unlocked, they'll be activated, and the world will look at us in awe and see God's glory being displayed within us. This is the mission of God. This is what God's doing here in the world. He's saying, look at what I'm creating, this church thing. It's awesome, and you can see me within it. We lay down our lives, we bear fruit, and we use the gifts. And the world goes, wow, I want to be a part of that. That seems like something interesting. You see, we each have a unique set of gifts, each of us here today. Our gifts have a specific purpose, and we each have a unique contribution to make to the church. Now, but just because they're activated doesn't mean they're being put to their fullest use. Just like a talent, these gifts need cultivating and developing. They need people to sort of organize the body parts and sort of put them in the right places. And, you know, I wasn't born a good preacher. My preaching has to be developed and cultivated, and I'm growing in those areas. So bear with me if my preaching's terrible this morning. Now, speaking of preaching, I want to give sort of a practical example of what I mean by sort of manifestation of the Spirit. Last night we took the teens bowling. Hey, teens, back row. There's some awesome bowlers back there, particularly someone I'm thinking about. Bowling is not my spiritual gift, FYI. We had a good time, and the leaders, student leaders, were asking me, Dave, how's your message coming along? And I said, well, you know, it's kind of about half done. And by half done, I mean like it was like half in like solid form that I could actually like say in front of you, and the other half was a bunch of like rambling, incoherent sentences that wouldn't have made sense if I stood up here for 20 minutes. But the Spirit manifested itself last night as I was putting all the pieces together. And Tara and Becky were watching a movie, and I was working on my message, and it came together, and I felt like, you know what, there's no way that this happened because of any like talent or ability that I sort of naturally physically bring, but something, the Spirit showed up, and my message came together last night. So I think it's just a practical way of thinking about how does the Spirit manifest and show up in our lives, and that was one way that I experienced this recently. It would have been great had that happened like Wednesday or Thursday. It would have made Friday, Saturday a lot more enjoyable. Our gifts begin to emerge and are developed as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. It's all so counterintuitive, isn't it? Now, I want to add an interesting side note here because I was doing the study for this. This fascinated me. In John 15, which we read last week, Jesus is talking about bearing fruit and then commands us to lay down our lives in love. And so sort of this idea of laying down our lives was connected to this idea of love. Well, guess what? If we kept reading on here in Romans, we would get the same idea of, there's a section called Love in Action. We'd actually read this. Love must, this is verse 10, love must be sincere, be devoted to one another in love. It's like it's unpacking further this idea. It's connected to this idea of love. If we kept reading on in Ephesians 4 and 5, we'd read this. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. If we kept reading about the gifts in the body, we'd come to the section about doing this in love. And guess what? If you continue on Corinthians 12, you get to Corinthians 13. And if you've ever been to a wedding, you might read in Corinthians 13 something about love. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, i.e. I offer myself as a living sacrifice, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Interesting, isn't it? I just had to share that with you all. Every time the Bible talks about giving ourselves away, laying our lives down as a living sacrifice, it talks about this concept of doing it in love. Now, some of us, we use our gifts, but I wonder, you know, where's the love connected to our using our gifts? Maybe we grumble and complain as we use our gifts, or maybe we say, it's not for me, or we come up with all sorts of reasons not to use it, but we're called to lay down our lives in love. Now, hopefully by now you're wondering and you're thinking, I wonder what my spiritual gifts are. Dave, how can I discover what my spiritual gifts are? Well, this is a great week to be a part of a missional fellowship. Because in your missional fellowship, where we've sent all the leaders these little packets, and they're spiritual gift surveys. They're just little, like, quizzes. So you, like, go through and you, like, put numbers down by each of these questions. At the end, you get a little result graph, and you sort of mark, and it's got maybe, I don't know, 15 or so spiritual gifts here. Now, this list isn't exhaustive. It's sort of representative, and we're going to invite you in your missional fellowships weeks to do this. The missional fellowship leaders, I'm going to send you an email this afternoon with all the instructions for this, so be on the lookout. If you're not part of a missional fellowship, this would be a great week to come be a part of one and try it out. Young professionals, I'm inviting you to come early on Tuesday night to come do this, and we'll do it in our Tuesday night group. And the idea is that we can just, you know, discover maybe the things that God's put in our lives and is inviting us to serve and contribute to the church. And if your permission, we'd like to gather these results together and, you know, figure out how we're going to form this body, this called the church. All right, I just want to close where we started. And we're talking about joy. And joy isn't specifically mentioned in this passage, but let me tell you how you can experience joy through using your gifts. Take a look at what it says in verse 2. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And saying as we offer ourselves as living sacrifice, we get to test, to check out what God's will is for our lives. Now, most of us agree it would probably be a good thing to be in God's will. Is that something most of us would sort of agree to? You know, being outside of God's will is a painful experience for us. A friend that was asking me this week, you know, does God punish us for things? I said, no, I don't think he punishes us, but it's a painful experience to be outside of God's will. We discover as we are using our gifts, as we're using the things that God has made us to be and formed us to be, we experience joy. We experience fulfillment. We experience life. As we're giving our lives up, we experience life. And for me, one of my gifts is, if you look on my little sheet here, my highest gift over here, hospitality. Having people into my home. And I find great joy in it. So friends, I want you to experience joy. I want you to experience life. I want you to experience the excitement of being part of this church. But it requires us laying down our lives. So I invite you to that today. Won't you pray with me? Father God, you invite us to lay down our lives, and for a lot of us that seems scary or intimidating, but Father, we have discovered this morning that, in fact, it's simple ways, simple gifts that you've given to us to serve your church. And Lord, we just desire to experience the joy and fulfillment as we serve and give our lives to you. So Father, I pray that you would lead each of us into a way that we can contribute, that we could each find a way to serve you. And so, Father, we pray that you'd be using us together to build up your body, and that we would glorify you as we build this church together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.